Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to another exciting adventure of The Balance. That's right, boys and girls. The Balance team is standing by to bring you, the sports fan, the inside look at the stories you care about. Tom, Brian Scott, and $2 Bill Josh are waiting right now to come to you live and bring you the stories that you care about. In our second hour, RJ Cunningham and Statman Steve, they go out to the racetracks. They bring racing stories to you. Stay put. You do not want to miss this adventure.
I'm Optimus Prime, and I send this message to any surviving Autobots taking refuge among the stars. We are here. We are waiting.
Welcome to The Balance. We're out here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We will not be taking any phone calls today, obviously, because we're not able to do this show live. But standing by with me is, as we tape this program for rebroadcast, is Mr. RJ Cunningham from Trackside Review, the magazine. How we doing, buddy?
Hey, we're doing pretty good. Good day at the track.
Hey, man, we finally get some action going on out there at the track. Whew! It's exciting.
Yeah,
huh?
it's been pretty hot.
You've been hanging out down there at Turn 2 all day long. What's been going on?
Well, actually, I've been walking around. I've been in Turn 2, Turn 3, in the garage area. I've been, all around the track. But I didn't see the action early. I was at home before I, came out to the track, and I saw that on TV. I understand you guys weren't even able to see it for a while there at the Speedway.
Well, I was actually right now in there in pit row when it happened. Of course, I took off down there to her pit box, so I didn't actually see the actual crash. Obviously, all the after events that happened. It was really exciting to be down there and to talk with him. Just to bring those that may not have heard yet. It's been after 2 days of absolutely no action out here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Well, there has now. This has just been a huge day of practice. We've got some really great speeds that are going up there, 225, 226, and, all in the top 10 between 224 and 226. And basically what happened today, really, at noon, the temperature was 66 degrees, and that's when we got the green flag. The number 27 Conway was first on the track, and then number 67 Carpenter's fastest speed was at 224.134. Now, just 25 minutes in, that's when all the excitement happened, and that's when we got a yellow flag, obviously, from the crash from the number 68 De Salvarado's car. And I know I butcher these names. And RJ, yeah. you're sending me the race car driver pronunciation.
Tagliani. Tagliani was hot at one time during the day.
Right.
Sonia Di Silvestro is the one that hit the wall. And, boy, I'm going to tell you what, she is one lucky, lucky lady. Every time that I go to the Speedway in the last few years, I've been upset because I can't sit outside Turn 3, outside Turn 4, or outside Turn 1. But today was a prime example of why they don't let people do that on a regular basis. Because not only did she have what looked to me like suspension failure, she plugged that wall really heavy, and then she got herself airborne and then turned, and the front nose of the car was, just like Conway's wreck last year, got into the fence and then violently turned her around, and the car caught fire. And you may know more than I do, Tom, but I guess she just had some superficial burns on her hands, but I mean, she is one very, very lucky individual.
Right. Well, here's what happened. Basically, the number 78 car was going into turn three, and it hit the outside retaining wall between three and four. It jumps, spins, and rides the wall backwards, making a secondary contact with the catch fence into the entrance. And then the car stops upside down, catches on fire in turn four. Of course, it was extinguished right away. Very, very scary wreck there for a few moments. She was able to get out of the car on her own free will. And, of course, like I said, I scrambled on down there to the team pit box and was able to get some information. Of course, there was a lot of excitement and stuff going on down there. And not sure exactly what had happened, but said that she was going to be okay and had some minor burns and that she was taken to the infield care center. I later learned that she was then transported to Methodist Hospital nearby here in downtown Indianapolis for secondary burns on her hands. She does appear to be all right. I have not had a chance to get back there and get any comments from her or from her team, but she does appear to be okay, a little shooken up. And as we know, out in Texas in 2010, she also had a pretty big crash herself, I believe.
Right. That particular car was a hodgepodge car, but this car was a top dog ride. Now, have you checked whether or not she has a backup car that's ready to roll? I was walking through the garage area Sunday, I believe it was, and I didn't see a backup car. I don't know whether she's actually got one assembled or whether she even brought one. I know this was a new chassis, I believe, so it's a shame, really. Sophomore jinx is what I call it.
Well, here's the thing, and what we've talked about to different teams all year long, and I think that you were with me there when we were talking to some guys from AFS, and basically what is being said is you got to remember that next year the 2012 DeLorean chassis comes out, so there's not a lot of extra parts laying around. There's not a lot of extra cars. So if they wreck and they don't have a backup car, now I'm not really sure what her position on the backup car. I think she does have one. If she did bring one, now, I don't know where they're at on that, and I will try to find that out while we're in this broadcast. And I'm trying to we're hopefully very soon here we'll have Lindy Thaxton call in from the Versus Network, and she said she's got a lot of demands for her time. Today's the first TV day, but she said she would try to make some time to call into the show today. And so maybe she's got a little bit more information on that as well. But really, that's right, RJ. If they weren't prepared for a crash, not that you're ever prepared, but if you don't have that backup plan, whether it's because of money or because you just didn't bring a car with you, a lot of times it's sad to say, but that's probably a situation to where they're not going to be able to run in the 100th running of the Indianapolis 500.
Yeah, that's a real shame, too. Now, she is a qualified driver, and I would not be surprised if another driver, one of the rookies, is not up to speed. She's one of the drivers where they might try to put her in another ride. She is, I believe, one of the up-and-coming racers at the Speedway. But, you know, like I say, it looked to me like they had their stuff together. So I would be surprised if they're not scrambling right now, trying to see what they can do to that car. You know, whether the damage was more superficial or whether it was really, really massive. It didn't look like it was an ultimately terrible impact. I mean, it was more of a, you know, yes, it was an impact, but it looked like most of the pieces stayed on the car, and that's highly unusual in today's cars. But yeah, it's going to be real interesting to see. I mean, were you able to go back in the garage area and look at the car at all?
I didn't get back there because I was trying to get the reports together for XRB. I didn't get back there yet. I've not got back there. So I'm not sure if I don't have anything on the car yet, no.
Right. Well, it would be very interesting to see. Once again, I believe that was definitely a failure in some form of equipment on the left side of the car. You know, I had a terrific view of it watching it before I came out. A lot of times I like to – I have a certain routine. Every year I go to the track. One day, one of my first days, I pull in, I sit and park in turn three. I walk from turn three to turn two, and I basically try to make three laps around the inside of the track. In the old days, I used to be able to walk on the inside of turn one and the inside of turn four, but now I have a shortened event, so I actually made four trips around the track. It's kind of like a superstition I've got, and and somebody asked me why I do that. I really don't know why I do that. It's just like peanuts in the pit and the green race car. Although I did notice that Simona had a partially green race car. Now, I'm not saying that that's the cause of this wreck, but, there's a lot of green race cars now, but it's one of the old superstitions. So, but there's a lot of quick times. When I left for a while, Taglioni was the quickest time of the day again, too.
Right, I'm just kind of scanning some of my notes and stuff here, and like I said, when all of this came down, I mean, what we were being told was a suspected rear suspension failure that happened as she went into the turn three wall when she came to a halt and went upside down and caught fire. Again, very scary accident. This was right there in a situation where this could have gotten nasty real quick. And the number 78 Nuclear Clean Energy car, HMV racing car, did hit the turn at full speed in that crash. It reminds me of Tony Kanaan's crash right there in that very same spot back there in 2009. And I tell you what, there was just a bunch of sparks and smoke and stuff that when she hit the barrier spinning and hitting as hard as she did and touching the low force. I mean, I, in my opinion, when at first it just looked a lot worse than what it was. But like I said, it reminds me a lot of the crash that happened back in 2009.
Right. This, back in the 70s and 80s, if there was a crash like this, she would not be walking, and she'd be lucky to be alive, period. And to see her get out just under her own power alone is just a miracle of the safety that's the changes in the safety equipment that's happened at the speedway. Even the fence has changed. They've made the wires closer together over the years to keep the cars from getting completely engulfed in the fence. And like I say, I'm upset that I can't sit outside the track. I don't like being inside the track because I feel you can't see as much action and you can't really tell what a car is doing. I really look forward to qualification day when I can sit outside. But, they do that for insurance purposes. I mean, the cost of the insurance policies at these racetracks all over the world right now is just astronomical. So, anyway, it's nice to see her walk away. And I really, really, really hope that she's one that can get her equipment back together. It's going to be a very, very competitive field this year. They're saying over the news that the potential for a sellout this year is very realistic. People are buying tickets at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway at a hairy pace, and I highly recommend that if somebody is interested at all in the race, they better get on the horn and get the tickets.
Well, as you can hear in the background, the cars are still out there on the track, and we've been getting some top speeds. We've got $2 Bill, Josh, Elmore on the line with us. We're going to take a break, and when we get back, we're going to break down some of these fast speeds and why we have so much traffic on what's going on. We'll be right back.
Hey, race fans, Trackside Review, the magazine, is back. Bigger, better, and faster than ever before. If you're a short track fan, if you're an oval track fan, Trackside Review has something for you. If you'd like to give back to the drivers, if you like to be a part of racing, then Trackside Review is for you. Check out their new online edition, www.tracksidereview.com. www.tracksidereview.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid,
social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Version. We're not taking any phone calls today, and also for the rebroadcast on WXRB 1610 AM. My name is Sal Marquis, and right alongside me is RJ Cunningham from Trackside Review, the magazine, and our faithful guy, assignment reporter, Mr. Josh $2 Bill Elmore, is on the line with us. Joshua, how are we doing, sir?
I'm doing well. I got to ask, who's number three on the speed charts right now? I was just told it's one of the females, but I wasn't told which one. Maybe
yes.
Danica went 226.4.
Hold on just a second. Let me refresh there, Josh. You caught me off. You caught me off cue chart there. Hold on here. Well, you and RJ keep talking while I try to find the answer to your questions. We
are
were going to go into that.
Josh, are you still picking Scott Speed to win the race? I'm just curious.
I am picking Scott Speed, although let me tell you who's been quiet all month long. I've been out to the track a couple times this week for half. I'm going to get a chance to come back out Saturday. Don't be surprised if Graham Rahal doesn't find a way to put his car in the top three at the end of the day.
Really? Now, he's been really quiet. To me, Tagliani is definitely the dark horse showing his speed right now.
Right. We were talking about that earlier today on the XRB track report. Tagliani, in my opinion, the shoe-in for the poll. I apologize. That I was hearing something weird in my ears. Was that you, Josh?
No, it's a helicopter.
Oh, is that what it was? But
a wet willy?
Really,
did you get a wet willy there?
Yeah, I'm afraid not.
Are you guys there?
I'm here.
All right. We're here. Unfortunately, you know, we're out here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, so sometimes when cars go by or whatever, we are missing a little bit. Now, like I said, it's been a rainy couple of days. We've not been able to get out on the track. They've not been able to get out on the track. I wish I was the one on the track until today. So they've got to get out on the track and do a lot of testing. There's a lot of traffic out there right now, and if you've not came out to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, if you're within driving distance, you need to be getting down here and taking a look at all the festivities that's going on for the running of the 100th anniversary. Now, one of the things that I do know for a fact, Trackside Review, the magazine, www.tracksidereview.com, has been keeping an update of all the happenings as well. Now, RJ, you and I have been following a lot of races here recently. So a lot of people may not have been in the site in the last couple of days. Why don't you tell them real quickly by going to www.tracksidereview.com what has changed on there?
Well, we have added an IndyCar section to the magazine. We've added a drag racing section to the magazine. We have hundreds of press releases from racetracks from all over the Midwest, and it grows almost by the day and by the minute. It's funny, though, watching these guys. It seems like they're racing each other to put their press releases in now. We noticed that Tony Kanaan is now scheduled to run the Prelude to the Dream at Eldora Speedway. And that's a big plus. And we're also in negotiations right now with a couple of three individuals to help us put the first print version of the magazine together. And I really look forward to that, especially with all the photos that we can get now from Statman Steve. And I've been able to recover my photography equipment myself. So, all the photographers are starting to clamor, trying to get back involved. One of the other things I wanted to do is create a photography website, and I've got a photojournalist down in southern Indiana that wants to get involved, and he's called me already. He's actually going to probably be a mayor of one of the cities in southern Indiana in the fall, so he's got limited time, but he can help me get sites together, so... that's going to be a big plus. But.
Well, one of the things I wanted to point out, guys, obviously we're leading up to the biggest race in history, the 100th running up the Indianapolis 500. So for the next couple of weeks or so, our show is going to be dedicated to fully to racing. However, we haven't forgot about our other sports fan. That is why we call it the balance. We do a good balance between other sports and racing. And had a good opportunity yesterday to sit down with Matt Howard, former standout forward for the Butler Bulldogs. What we're going to do, guys, is we're going to go to that interview real quick. We're going to go to a commercial break right after that. When we get back, we're going to talk more racing from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
With Matt Howard. First of all, congratulations on what you've done for the state of Indiana through Butler basketball and really bringing Hoosier Stereo back to Indiana.
Oh, I appreciate that. It's been a crazy 2 years, completely different seasons, I think, to some degree. We feel very fortunate to be able to have made a couple runs that we did.
Now, tell me a little bit about what that's like, 2 years in a row, to be in the Final Four. And this second year was really kind of a long shot at best, but you guys put it together. Tell me a little bit about the inner workings between you and, obviously, Brad Stevens is a great coach, and there's great chemistry between you and the other players. Just tell me a little bit about the routine and how you guys accomplish that.
Well, there's a lot of things that go into making a team cohesive and, sticking together. And, there's a lot more to it that I think a lot of people realize, and a lot more importance to it than I even realized coming into college. And, there was a point earlier in the season this year where, we were 14-9, not playing very well, and never would have guessed that, we would end up winning 13 or 14 games in a row and end up back in the national championship game. And
this was the
of the year. And so that's, I think that's pretty cool for him. And like I said, it's, I don't know how normal that is or how much a sense of normalcy he has from that, but he's getting back to it.
Now, tell me, you're in your transition stage. Obviously, you hired an agent. You're ready for that next level. Tell me a little bit about that transition phase. I mean, obviously, the NBA lottery was just held yesterday. So tell me, if you could pick a team, if you could pick a coach, who would you like to play? Who would you like to play with?
You know, I haven't even thought about that. And to be honest, any coach or any team, and that's where I'm at. And I don't have a whole lot of leverage. So if, you know, any team or any coach, yeah, I'd be happy to play for them and give them whatever I got. But it's hard to think of myself being in that position. I mean, I went in this morning to get a little workout in before I came out to the track, and you know, I just set my stuff down in the locker that I used to have. I just assumed that it's fine. You know, it's going to take some getting used to not going back in there. I'm looking at it on that side of the team, but yeah, it's a transition. I've had, I think, and hopefully this year it'll be better. now. Are you think we're going to be able to wave that green flag today? You know, I'm hoping to wave it anyway.
Hey, race fans, Trackside Review, the magazine, is back. Bigger, better, and faster than ever before. If you're a short track fan, if you're an oval track fan, Trackside Review has something for you. If you like to give back to the drivers, if you like to be a part of racing, then Trackside Review is for you. Check out their new online edition, www.tracksidereview.com. www.tracksidereview.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
RB Radio, staying here with Brian Clausen, Sam Schmidt, Motorsports. How'd it go? We got a few laps underneath your belt there today. How'd it feel?
It's been good so far. You know, we're continuing to work on it a little bit, but kind of arrived at this place for the first time, and you know, go down into one, and it was everything I thought it'd be. It's a neat place, and just it's really cool to be here and have this opportunity with Sam and Indy Light Series, and I'm really excited for you know, Freedom 100.
Okay, now obviously you had your oh my gosh I'm here moment. After that, you're able to calm down in the car a little bit. How do you feel about your car?
We're working on it still a little bit. We're looking for some speed. It drives pretty good. We just don't have the top speed. So we'll see. You know, we're looking at inputs and stuff like that, and trying to make it better. But that's what we're here for, is a test. And you know, we'll keep working on her today, and then go back to the shop, and then keep working on her tomorrow, and then up until May 26th.
How fast do you think you can get it up to?
I don't know. We'll find out. We need to go get going a little bit faster than we are right now, though. But these guys have given me great race cars all off season and all the testing, and you know, I'm sure we'll get it figured out.
And you can't find a better team owner out there in the industry to be with. How's it feel to be racing for Sam Schmidt?
It's an honor to be driving for Sam. You know, he's kind of the man in the Indy Lights series. It's you know, he's Roger Penske, Chip Ganassi of the Indy Lights, and it's an honor being one of his cars. And you know, when you roll out here, anytime you roll out to race for Sam, you got a shot to win.
Appreciate your time.
All right, and welcome back to The Balance. That was Brian Clausen. Had an opportunity to speak with him in the Indy Lights series. Now, RJ, you and I are following David Ostella with Jensen Motorsports. And I tell you what an exciting time to watch that young man go up as well. And I know, RJ, you follow a lot of USAC and Crown Royal.
Yeah, I know what your mind is.
I got after the show on my mind. Royal Crown Series. And so it's always good to see somebody like David Ostella and Brian Clausen come up through the ranks and get an opportunity to run through Indy Lights, which, for those who don't know, is certainly the development part of the thing. And many good drivers have come out of the Indy Lights, obviously, Pippa Mann and James Hinchcliffe is just a couple that I've been able to talk to in the last couple of days, and really excited to follow over the next few races. David Ostella, and I know that the Balance and Trackside Review are planning on making some trips to the IndyCar IZOD races in Milwaukee. I think it's going to be the next one that we're going to head up to after we leave Indianapolis here. RJ, how's it going down there in the midst of the war? We'll say.
Pretty good. I've got a new person here trying to log on to blogtalkradio.com and search for the Balance. And that person will get it up, and you know, we'll have a new listener. But hey, you know, the audience is growing almost by the minute. We noticed that the archives are doing very well. Simona came from the Indy Lights series too.
Yeah, she did.
And that's, you know, like I say, she was one of the top dogs in that series. There is just so much, you know, potential for that. I just wish that they would give them a little bit more track time and let the race fans really, truly see those guys, too. But, you know, this is where the shortness of the month of May has really, you know, when it rains like it does, it really affects the time on the track, and yet it also affects the preparation of the race cars, and I think that is a possibility of Simona's accident. I'm not sure, you know, we may never know, but I know Michael Gallick from, you know, Jensen Motorsports said that he will not let his driver go out on the track until the car is ready and safe. And, you know, that is so important today because, you know, just one loose nut without Loctite put on it, just any number of things can cause a problem. And obviously we think that that may have happened today with Simona DiSilvestro.
Right. Now, again, like I said, we want to make sure that we cover our basis for our other fans, because like you said, our fan base is growing huge numbers every day across the United States. And we are joining you coast to coast here, and you can also download the show on iTunes and so forth. Now, one of the things you might notice a little bit different today is you're not able to call in, and that's because this is a tape broadcast from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, just because I don't want to get sued. That's really what it amounts to. but we will be running the rebroadcast on this, and we are down here at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Now, on the phone with us also is $2 Bill Josh. Josh, I know that there's a lot going on, so if you could kind of help us out, catch us up for all of us that have been out of the loop the last couple of weeks. Catch us up on the Indians. Catch us up on the NBA playoffs. The NBA, obviously, the lottery for the NBA draft happened the other night. I know you really predominantly started with the program as our NBA analysis and have kind of moved around to different assignment reporters and just kind of wore different hats around the show. And, Josh, we appreciate all that you do for us. So go ahead and catch us up on what's going on in the NBA playoffs. Down there at Victory Field and, you know, across anything that's not happening in racing.
I can get you guys caught up real quick, and then I'm actually getting ready to go meet an all-time role model of mine, one of the greats in Indiana high school football, Coach Callahan. But as far as the NBA playoffs go, Dallas is up 1-0 over Oklahoma City. Chicago and Miami are tied at 1-1. Dallas and Oklahoma play game 2 tonight. The Indians have won 7 out of their last 8 games. They are finally swinging the bats, right? Which, for those of you who have followed us for a while, I said when the weather got nice, the Indians would be a great team. They're starting to make that come to reality. My Boston Red Sox, who started 2-9, are now proving they're the best team in baseball and have gotten all the way up to 22-20. Pacers continue to look for a head coach. It'll probably be Frank Vogel. Don't rule out Chuck Person for all you Pacer fans old enough to remember the 80s. I am not. I'm a little bit too young to remember much earlier than 97, 98. He was an all-time Pacer great back in the, I want to say, mid to late 80s. Tom might have a better idea than I would. When Chuck Person was playing.
Tom, where you at? Well, he's disappeared. Can you hear me, Josh?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, I don't know where Tom went. So basically, I would like to see Vogel stay. The one thing I have noticed myself personally is that with Chicago, they're still in the series. And to me, when the Indiana Pacers lost to Chicago, you didn't expect Chicago to move on as far as they have, and to me that just goes to prove just how good the Pacers became this year. But you never know, they may want more experience. So,
well, yeah, and again, guys, I'm walking around the media center here trying to gather some information on different things. Now, one of the things we were talking about earlier, and I apologize if I'm jumping into a conversation that has nothing to do with what you're talking about, but I wanted to make sure that I let you guys know that they did bring a backup car on that. So I'm still trying to get some information on that back car. backup car. I do know it isn't optimized for the unique challenges of the Indianapolis Oval. I was able to get that much. That can affect her speeds, you know, when she does return to the track and that other thing. So I'm trying to find out some more information about that. But that's what I've been able to find out.
Yeah, basically what you're telling us for all the rookies out there, the car that they brought as a backup car is more than likely the road racing car, and it's set up to run the road races. So for them to get it ready to run on the oval, they're going to have to swap as many parts. And you mentioned earlier in the broadcast about how parts are at premium this year. So, you know, obviously the road racing parts are, you know, not damaged, but the oval parts might be harder to come by. So that's where they're, you know, the whole team's probably scrambling from garage to garage to garage. And, you know, I never really realized whether Penske was willing to let loose of some of his stuff. So, you know, I know A.J. Foyt was always ready to put somebody in a ride. And, you know, not to mention this, but if I were A.J. Foyt, I think she's worthy of putting in another car if that came down to that. Hey, go back to where you guys were talking. I'm going to try to get this person on the internet.
I apologize. Go right ahead. Finish what you were saying there.
It looks like either Frank Vogel or Chuck Persons is going to be the next Indiana Pacers head coach, and I'm actually late for a dinner meeting. So I will catch up with all of our faithful listeners next Thursday.
All right, Josh. That's $2 bill. Josh joining us here on The Balance. Again, you guys are listening. I noticed something a little bit different in the fact that you can't call into the show because we're taping the show for rebroadcast on WXRB and as well as here on Blog Talk Radio. Now, you most certainly can hear all the archive shows that are on there. And, of course, today's show, too, you'll be able to hear it as well. We just can't run live. It's an IZOD IndyCar rule, and they've got bigger, more expensive, better lawyers than I do, RJ. Are you still with me, RJ?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you. That's why I like to walk around the infield and do all those nice things in the infield instead of really worrying about all the high-dollar lawyers and stuff. I can get what I want to talk about and get it on the web pretty quick. The day that I can get my laptop and just carry it around with me, that'll be even better. But, you know, it's fun to be around the Speedway, no matter what capacity I'm in, whether it's in the media room or whether it's in a turn shooting or whether it's just in a turn chatting with some of the fans. But it's kind of cool to walk around the infield as I do as my yearly ritual and just have somebody stop and say, I know you from somewhere. It kind of makes you feel good. So,
well,
and
RJ, I know
there too
lot.
Pretty soon.
I know a lot of people know who you are, but for those who don't know who you are, tell us a little bit more about Trackside Review, the magazine, www.tracksidereview.com, and soon and up and coming soon, although it's not there yet, so is RJ's Racebook. But tell us a little bit more about Trackside Review, the history behind it, and what it gives to the race fan.
Well, basically, I've thought for many, many years that as I've gone to the Indianapolis 500, the race fans have never been able to capture where a driver came from. Now, even though the drivers are coming more from karting now and even foreign backgrounds of racing, they start out even in the States. Danica Patrick is a prime example. She started out in the States, raced go-karts in Ohio, did very, very well, moved to Europe, and spent a few years in Europe racing, and then came back from the IndyCar program. I felt like that the short track level, especially, we're not getting some of the people going from short track, midgets, Prince, Silver Crown, even stock car racing, into the IndyCar program, not because they're not capable, but because they're not getting enough exposure and enough recognition. So that's why Trackside Review Magazine was created, along with the fact that when I pick up a marketing partner or a sponsor for a racer, I put that package as part of the package that go alongside with Trackside Review Magazine. So maybe a company can't afford to get in the big leagues of racing, but they would like to get involved in motorsports. So this is a way for them to start in a smaller way and get going that way.
Hey, I do want to break in here real quick. We do just have the new fastest speed out there. Townsend Bell just hit a speed of 226.741. Unbelievable speeds that are going out there right now. And this is, again, practice six for the 2011 Indianapolis 500 at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And so that's what's going on right now. Dan Weldon has improved to 10th with a lap time of. Again, Tagliani has moved down to number two. At 226.51. I'm just really engulfed in our top five, top six drivers in the practice have all been hitting that 226 mark and above 225. So that tells you that today, RJ, they're out there and they're making it happen, and they're getting themselves ready for qualification and for pole, which is right around the corner. Of course, we got J.R. Hellebrand. You've heard me talk about him on reports and on XRV quite a bit. I had a chance to get down there and talk with him, and he's really excited about being here. And he's the rookie to watch. Man, it's really the two rookies to keep their eyes on that are out here to make a showing. And then again, also Scott Dixon, 226.53. Danica, 226.267. Graham Rahal, 226.142. Those all are in your top six drivers that are out there right now. Again, Townsend Bell just bested a speed of 226.741. RJ, can you get the RJ Mobile up to that speed?
No, 142 is the fastest I've been able to get the red rod up to. So I prefer not to do that very often.
Did you just say the red rod?
Well, that is my Dodge Stealth. Okay, so I guess I just gave it a nickname, but that's okay. You know,
no more water for you out in turn. No more water for you out in turn two, there, buddy.
Hey, you know, whatever works, you know.
Hey, I tell you what. Hey, guys, you're listening to The Balance right here on Blog Talk and, of course, XRB.com, XRBRadio.com, and WXRB 1610 AM. Hey, we're going to jump to a break. When we get back, we're going to talk more racing. Me and RJ Cunningham from Trackside Review, we're out here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. This is The Balance, and we are gearing up for the 100th running of the Indianapolis 500.
Hey, race fans, Trackside Review, the magazine, is back. Bigger, better, and faster than ever before. If you're a short track fan, if you're an oval track fan, Trackside Review has something for you. If you like to give back to the drivers, if you like to be a part of racing, then Trackside Review is for you. Check out their new online edition, www.tracksidereview.com. www.tracksidereview.com.
Welcome to another exciting adventure of The Balance. That's right, boys and girls. The Balance team is standing by to bring you...
here, so I cannot wait to start the race. So how do you feel about your car?
you like it good shape for you?
Yeah, we need to solve some things, but I think for today all the tests went pretty good. We're going to work hard to have a faster car on the qualifying day and to have a good race car.
So where are you looking to qualify at?
I don't know, top 10, top 5.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, well, it's my first race. I don't know what to expect, but obviously I'm going to be at the front.
Okay. Now, what will be a good race for you? Just to finish, or do you need to finish in the top 10 to be a good race for you?
No, I would love to win the race. I can assure that, but I will obviously go for it. And maybe have top 10, top 5 will be very good for me. Even finish it. I would like to finish it like after top 10, but of course I would like to be on top 5.
How does this track rank among other tracks you've raced at?
Well, it's going to be my first oval race, and the driving style is very different since I've been racing only on tracks, road courses and street courses, but the driving style is very different, and it's going to help me a lot on everything, to be more gentle with the steering wheel, because here it's all that you need.
You got to respect the track, that's for sure.
Yeah, all the ovals, you need to respect them.
Well, I appreciate your time, and we look forward to watching you out there today.
All right, and welcome back to The Balance right here on Blog Talk Radio and WXRB 1610 AM. Right alongside me on the phone here, down amongst the people, is RJ Cunningham from Trackside Review, the fan's fan. What's going on, my buddy?
Well, you know, right now there's just all kinds of people out in the sun, you know. It's good to have the sun out in the state of Indiana. Sometimes we wonder whether the state has any sun, especially this year. It has been one of the worst years for short track racing that I have ever seen. Much rain.
I saw a very, very, very well-known figure around the Indianapolis track. I don't want to quote him, although I did ask him. I said, can I quote you on this? He's like, absolutely. But I think I'm going to leave his name out of this. What he said was, we were standing there talking in the elevator about the weather and the stuff and about being able to get out there on the track. He said, it's good to see them to stop jacking off a dead pig. That's what he said. I'm just saying. I asked him if I could quote it. He said, yes, I quoted it, but I'm going to leave his name out of it. RJ, that's kind of really sums it up. That's what's been going on here in the last 2 days. Rain.
It's going to be really nice.
Getting out there.
Well, the thing that's scary to me, when it rains so much, it puts everybody on edge, and it puts everybody in a quick change mode, and it becomes very dangerous, and that's when teams can make mistakes, racers can make mistakes, and you know, you're trying to get up to speed, and it's a very tedious process to take all the downforce out slowly. You know, when they first come out on the track, they go 219, 220, because they got all the downforce. That car is stuck to the track. But as they progress, they've got to take more and more downforce off the wings, and that creates a car that's a little bit more dangerous, a little bit more squirrely, and they're doing it very, very quickly now because they missed the last basically 3 days of racing or practice. So, you know, there's teams that need more prep time, and I believe Penske, they're just going for race car setups right now. They probably won't set up their car until late in the afternoon for qualification runs tomorrow. You know, the draw has a lot to do with it. They're calling for weather to come in possibly Saturday evening, which means it'll pick up the wind. So, you know, early qualification time is going to be very important, as usual. But, you know, in a nutshell, it's just, you know, looking forward to good times. And do you know when FNC is going to be calling in or not? Is he called in to let us know? I know he's planning on going to Hot Dog for the Hot 100 down in Evansville, Indiana this week. So, you know, have you heard from him?
Who's that?
Statman Steve, you know, one of our writers, you know.
Oh, yeah. I haven't heard from Statman Steve yet. He said he was going to be calling in. Also, you know, I tell you what, that number 77 car, he's showing the world that he wants that pole position. Although he still has to earn it on pole day, but He's out there right now. He just passed up Townsend Bell. He's at 227.652. And then Townsend Bell and J.R. Hillebrand. And Sarajeva, the number two car, number five, Scott Dixon. Those all are above 226 on these practice laps.
Now, Tom, I do have a question to ask you. Did you practice your names?
I should have. I am
Tagliani
trying to practice.
Tagliani 100 times. I told you to say Tagliani 100 times. You know, you're supposed to mention all those names and get them in your mind, get them in your head. I know I'm teasing you, but, you know, that's one thing I did like about going to the short tracks. You don't have to worry about pronunciation of race drivers. I mean, you know, we know the Brian Clausens of the world and the Dave Darlings of the world, and so their names are very easy to pronounce, and they're easily accessible, too. So, you know, it's nice to see Ed Carpenter doing well with Sarah Fisher's team. Two dark horses to me, Tagliani and Carpenter.
Hey, RJ, let me interrupt you. We did just get some breaking news here at the media center. They just announced that Simona has been released from Methodist Hospital. She will spend the next 24 hours in the care of IndyCar medical officials as they treat those burns on her hand. She will be available for interviews around 11:15 tomorrow. So I want to make sure that we get to that, and we'll get some sound bites and stuff from the interviews with that. So again, Simona has been released. To refresh those that do not know, we had some really exciting action 25 minutes into the 500 practice today, day six, Thursday, May 19th. Basically what happened going into turn three there, the car hits an outside retaining wall between turns three and four, jumps, spins, and rides the wall backward, making secondary contact with the catch fence in the entrance of turn four. The car stops upside down and, of course, catches fire. And was in that fiery crash, which was a pretty scary event there for a little bit, she did receive secondary burns. Now, we've just been told that she's been released from the Methodist Hospital, and she'll be in care of the IndyCar doctors overnight and available for interviews tomorrow. So that's some positive news out of there, RJ.
Okay. Well, that's good news. That's good news. I'll tell you what, that was one that I will remember for many, many years to come. I still can't drive the car, you know, as safe as it is under that circumstance. The impact was so bad they wouldn't even show it over the big screens of the TV. That takes a pretty big impact for that to happen.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, on some other news today, three Indianapolis 500 teams earned the final three spots in the IZOT Indy 500 Pit Stop Challenge. During time trials this morning, teams changed four tires and performed a simulated fueling hookup. The three qualifiers were the number 82 Tony Kanaan's team, number 27 Mike Conway's team, and number 3 Julio Castaneda's team Penske. Routed that out.
You did that again.
I know. I'm telling you. I need help, brother. I'm just going to say
Helio
the car number. Just say the name.
Helio Castaneves.
Number 28, Ryan Hunter, was fourth. Now, 12 teams will compete in the IZOT Indy 500 Pit Stop Challenge on Miller Lite Carb Day. Now, that's Friday, May the 27th. These nine teams previously qualified based on pit performances between the 2010 Indianapolis 500 in that race out there in Italy that I'm not even going to try to pronounce.
You're scaring me.
I'm scaring myself, RJ. Now, KV Racing Technology, number 5, Sato, Team Penske, number 6, Briscoe, and Target Chip Ganassi Racing, number 9, Dixon, are all teams that are in the running for that pit stop challenge, RJ.
Hey, I'm going to have to go plug in my phone. My phone is going dead, so I'm going to go out to the humble abode, the vehicle, and plug in this phone so I can probably get some more juice. I'll be back in a minute. Covered
okay.
From here, Tomas.
Okay. RJ Cunningham from Trackside Review joining us here on The Balance. So glad that you guys could join us. We're out here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Again, you guys realize that we're not taking any calls today. We're taping the show for rebroadcast, and of course you'll be able to hear all of the rebroadcast and download all the archives off of iTunes. Just go to www.tracksidereview.com or thebalanceonline.com or WXRB.com. And then the WXRB rebroadcast will be Saturday afternoon from noon to 1. Been a great day out here at the Indianapolis 500. We're still waiting to see if maybe we can't make contact with Lindy Thackett with the Versus Network. It's been a very busy day for her, but we'd like to have her on and see what else we've got going on here. Now again, this is day six practice of the 100th anniversary of the Indianapolis 500 mile race. This is The Balance, and those of you may be wondering, hey, I'm not a race fan. I'm a sports fan. I'm a stick and ball kind of guy. Hey, don't worry about it. We got your balls covered. Don't worry. I promise you, we haven't forgot about you. Our $2 bill, Josh, was on the line earlier talking with us a little bit about the NBA draft and the NBA playoffs. Got a lot going on there, of course. We haven't forgot about you football fans with the NFL lockout as well. So, you know, there is a lot of other stuff going on. I understand that you guys want to know about. as you heard, RJ Cunningham, he needs to recharge his juice. So I hope that he means battery when he says juice on that. But we're out here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. You know, it's the greatest racetrack in the world. And, you know, to have the greatest race in the world right here, just right around the corner, celebrate 100 years of racing in the same location. And what a rich heritage and history that has. We've had some great speeds today. Right now, the number 77 car has just hit 227.652. That is unbelievable on practice laps. By far, he still maintains the fastest lap of the month. He just keeps staying up there. Now, Townsend Bell was right there for a little bit at 226.741. Again, this rookie, J.R. Hillebrand, I really like him. He's in the National Guard car, and down there with Panther Racing is a good car to watch. I love to watch these rookies come in, and what a great year to watch them come into the Indianapolis 500 on the 100th anniversary of the Indianapolis 500. Of course, all of the big names have been making their appearances on the track and in the garages, and we've tried to catch up with them as much as we can. Of course, Danica and Tony Kanaan and a lot of Julio and number three car and just a lot of great drivers out there right now that are trying to get their cars adjusted for this 100th running of the Indianapolis 500. I do believe we have Mr. RJ Cunningham back on the line with us. RJ, are you all juiced up, brother?
Yeah, I think I have a charger in order, and I do have a little bit more juice in the old
juicer,
phone system.
Huh?
Yeah.
All righty.
So,
well, guys,
yeah.
Like I said, we're out here with RJ Cunningham. RJ Cunningham is down there. I'm up here in the comfort of the media suite. RJ, I know that you are a fans fan, and just the other day, you and I were down there just mingling among the fans, and you come across two brothers, and I know those that want to read more on the article on www.trackcyberview.com. But you come across two brothers that's been coming to this race for a good number of years. Tell us about that. Tell us a little bit about that article you wrote.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it. You know, I started coming out here since I was 9 years old, and these guys, one of them started coming out in 1964. And, you know, that's a long time to come out to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And he was a teacher. Wilson Brothers, they're on the website. And, you know, those are the kind of people that I like to meet and greet and talk to. And I have literally seen him every day that I've been out here, either walking to or from the garage area. I did notice it in turn two. They've even shut down the grandstands. I guess they're trying to keep the stands clean for the fans Saturday. You know, that's another thing they try to do. There's only so many people to clean these stands, and us rowdy race fans can make a mess pretty easily. So, you know, so he's been walking around the garage area and just meeting and greeting people. What is so funny about the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is we will see friends that we've known for 10 or 15 years. But the only time that we even talk to each other is during the month of May. We know that, you know, I can go Saturday, for example, and I'll see a gentleman from up north in Chicago that comes down to watch qualifications and has actually been involved with USAC quite a bit when they tried to do the starters so they wouldn't have to use push starters or the push trucks. He comes down every month of May, and I will not talk to him until I see him at the track. But I know he will always be there. And, you know, that is just part of the history of the track. It's something that fans, you know, you develop these friendships. Now, you know, truthfully, with RJ's Racebook, what I'll do is be able to give away for people that want to be involved in such a way so they can get a hold of each other. Because if I were to go up to Chicagoland Speedway, he's close enough up there. So he'll go to Chicagoland. He does every year. So we can hook up then. But, you know, these tracks are massive facilities, and you may not be able to run across these guys unless you know they're going to be in a certain turn. And, you know, it's just so much fun. That's part of the history of racing here.
Right. Well, RJ, we're bubbling up against a break here. I do want to get this soundbite on opening ceremonies. I was able to talk to the mayor of Indianapolis, Mayor Greg Ballard. Here's what he had to say. We'll go to a commercial. We'll be right back.
What a special year. I'm lucky to be around and see this. It's really a celebration of everything that has gone on before. There's so much going on in the city with the NFL, the walkout, with the Super Bowl. There's so much going on. What an exciting time to be a mayor.
Yeah, it is a really good time. There's a lot of progress in the city. I think everybody can see it right now. And just to have the speedway in the month of May, I tell people all the time, I've lived in different places around the world. There's nothing like the month of May in Indianapolis, and I hope everybody enjoys it.
Everybody, because you're a race fan.
I am.
Who's your driver today?
I know, no problem.
This year, I'm going to wait until after qualifications. We'll see if it looks strong or not. I really don't know yet, but
okay.
Thanks for your time.
Here comes Speed Racer. He's a demon on wheels.
Hey, race fans, Trackside Review, the magazine, is back. Bigger, better, and faster than ever before. If you're a short track fan, if you're an oval track fan, Trackside Review has something for you. If you like to give back to the drivers, if you like to be a part of racing, then Trackside Review is for you. Check out their new online edition, www.tracksidereview.com. www.tracksidereview.com.
So, and that's what we're here for. You know, still trying to you know, to get my 500 win. So hopefully, we'll see. Maybe this year.
What an incredible win that would be for the 100th winning running of the race for you to be the winner and get your first.
No, for sure. I mean, I think anytime you win the 500 will be special, but maybe to win the 100 in the 500 will be even more than that.
How you feeling your car?
I don't know. We'll see. I haven't been there. So the car looks pretty, so we'll see what's going to happen.
You going to do very many laps today?
Not a lot. I mean, the weather's coming in. We're going to shake down. I mean, it's a new, like I said, it's a new team for me. It's a new setup in the oval. I haven't driven the KV Lotus car in the oval yet, so we're going to take it easy and see what's going
to
happen.
Well, we look forward to watching.
All right, and welcome back to The Balance right here on XRB Radio and Blog Talk Radio. Again, I want to remind you guys, you can't call in. We're taping this, but it is good. That was Tony Kanaan, by the way, talking about his brand new ride. RJ, have you had a chance to look at Tony's new ride? What do you think about it?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I took some shots. I was trying to get shots of all three cars. They had a great photo shoot out there on opening day where they had three cars lined up with all three drivers. And all. It was funny watching all the picture guys funning with each other. And, you know, there's a lot of things that go on in a crew that, you know, normal fans aren't privy to. You know, they play tricks on each other from garage to garage, team to team, and, you know, it kind of lightens the mood a little bit. And I got to see some of that while we're trying to do some of that prep. One other thing about opening day that I was really impressed with, I told you, I think, I sure wish I had a Camaro that day. That was an awesome sight to see all those Camaros. You know, I would almost want to buy a Camaro just to, I don't know how many of those Camaros they had go around the speedway, but that was just one cool look. It was so funny. There was two or three guys who tried to get on it, you know, going out of turn two. That was pretty cool. But, you know, it's just, you know, the whole month of May is just a pageant. You know, from this parade to everything that goes on during the month of May, you know, I've always tried to take in something that I've not been able to do from one year to the next. And believe me, in 42 years, it's you know, there's something different every year that you can go to, something new that the Speedway does, and the changes that they make. And it used to be they just build a new stand, but now they're changing all the infield structures and all the things to make the fans even more accessible. And it's just a cool atmosphere, just a cool atmosphere. All we need is good weather.
That's right. Well, we've got some good weather now. We're out there on the track, and I tell you what, again, we are having a great day and some high speeds out there. Number 77 car turning speeds at 227.652, Townsend Bell at 226.741, and that great rookie that I just keep talking about, number 4, J.R. Hellebrand at 226.527. I actually just got a text from my Versus girl there from Lindy Thaxer over there at Versus. She's just had so much going on today. Like I said earlier, it's their first TV day. They've got a lot of meetings, and she's had a couple other different interviews and stuff. And she was on another interview, and now she's headed back to the TV compound for a production meeting. So she's not going to be able to make the show. But earlier today, I was able to – I mean, I'm sorry, the other day I was able to talk with her. And here's what she had to say.
What's up, Marcos? From Trackside Review, the magazine. Lindsay Faxon with Versus. What an exciting time to be here on the track, and especially in the capacity that you do. Tell us a little bit about Versus. Versus is a relatively new network.
Versus took over the IndyCar series a few years ago. The actual race, the Indy 500, for years has been on ABC, but we do about 30, 32 hours of qualifying coverage. So we'll start next weekend. We do about 6.5 hours a day, and then we'll also do carb day, cover the pit stop competition and some things like that. I mean, this is the race that, you know, you ask any of these guys who are out driving, and they'll say this is the one, you know, this is the one that they care about, and it's a really exciting month for us.
Now, you grew up here in Indianapolis,
mm-hmm.
So you have to probably have a
family. Yeah, I grew up here. We used to go to my grandparents' house. The adults would go to the race, and we would, all the grandkids, be at my grandparents and listen on the radio, and once I got old enough, I was able to start coming to the races. And then, actually, 10 years ago this year, I was an Indy 500 princess. So I did that, and I continued to be a fan as I went through doing years of local news. And then once I was able to get into motorsports and was able to secure an IndyCar job, I've been doing this for a few years, and it's still really unbelievable that this is what I'm able to do.
Now, what's your favorite memory of all the races that you've been to?
Oh, my gosh, that's such a hard question. I would say it would have been a couple years ago when Elio had come back from his tax troubles, and he had come back at Long Beach, and then we came to the 500, and he won pole position. And I remember doing that interview with him, and we were just surrounded by so many people around us as soon as he won pole, and he was crying, and it was so emotional for him. And that was really a moment where I stood there and thought, I can't even believe that this is my job. You know, and I'd say that was one of the coolest moments of a race for me.
Now, there's a lot of buzz about the new 2012 DeLorean chassis. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that the series needs innovation to continue to rise up with the momentum that we've got going. I think we have no other choice. I think people are tired of seeing the same cars that look exactly the same going around and the same people pretty much winning over and over again. You know, we just debuted the cars on our IndyCar Open Wheel Weekly show last Tuesday, and, you know, I think they look pretty cool. We'll see. Most of the owners voted they don't feel we're ready to go with multiple aero kits yet, but I have a feeling the series will probably say we're going to anyway.
Now, a lot of people think that this is going to push out a lot of the smaller teams, and even though I think it's going to give everybody a level playing field, what do you think about the smaller teams, the smaller guys who can't come up with the kind of sponsor money, that this is just going to be gobbled up by some of the bigger teams?
I mean, I hope that doesn't happen. I was talking to Keith Wiggins, the owner of HBM, last week to get a smaller team perspective, and I don't understand why you don't want to do this, because the same couple teams right now are winning over and over again. Why don't you want a chance to be different? And he said, you know, they do, but even at this point, they're just struggling money-wise. So, you know, hopefully it doesn't push these people out, because I think what they're trying to do is exactly opposite that. I don't know. I really don't know what's going to happen, but hopefully people can find a way to do it, because they're here because they love IndyCar, and I think they're going to do what they have to do to make it work.
Now, it's a very competitive field out there. Obviously, there's only 33 slots, and, you know, this is going to be probably the first real bump day we've seen in a long, long time. And, you know, we was watching the rookies run around, you know, yesterday and the other day, and with the Indy Lights yesterday, I'm sorry, and then the rookies the other day. And some great, great rookies. So Sam Smith Racing has got some great teams. I mean, he's the Penske of the Indy Lights. And so, what do you think is going to happen with some of these younger drivers? Do you think that we're going to see some of the rookies like Hillebrand or some of the other ones just really make the field, or they just got the experience and they'll be back next year?
I think Hinchcliffe will make the field. I think Hildebrand will probably make the field. When you've got more than 40 people who are trying, when you've got people like Weldon who's won, Buddy Rice who's won, Paul Tracy here, there's no doubt season regulars are probably not going to make the field. But I think some of the rookies do have a chance of making it. I mean, you look at what Hinch has done so far this season. You just never know, though. I mean, look, last year at the last minute, Paul Tracy didn't make it, so you just don't know.
So one last question here. We've been talking to different legends all around, you know, Johnny Rutherford, Bobby Unser, A.J. Foyt. Yesterday I had a chance to sit down and talk with Rufus Spinelli-Jones, which, you know, 1963, one of the greatest race car drivers and owners of all time. What is your favorite lesson?
I mean, just growing up here in Indy, he was always the one when we would pull the names out of the hat at my grandparents' house. I always hoped I got him. You know, he's just kind of been the one I've always been rooting for since I was young. And, you know, he holds the speed record here. And I'd say he's mine.
Okay. I appreciate your time. Thanks, Lindsay.
No worries.
All right, that's Lindy Thaxton with the Versus Network. I've had an opportunity to get to talk to her over the last few days, and she's really excited about the coverage that Versus is doing for IndyCar. RJ, what are the fans thinking about the new 2011 DeLorean chassis?
Well, number one, they know it needs to happen. The DeLorean chassis needs to happen. The fact of the matter is that the various side pods need to happen as well. I think that some of the aura has been lost over the years with spec chassis, and the different side pods will make it so much cooler to watch. You know, I for years have wanted to go through the garage area so I could see the helmet schemes and the different car designs so that I could see them. If I'm sitting in turn three and they're coming out of turn two, I want to be able to tell that car from that far away. And, you know, in the old days, you could always tell when a car was a remanufactured car, whether it was a current chassis or, you know, the difference between a McLaren and an Eagle. And to me, that was such a strong selling point of the Indianapolis 500. And to see a chassis that would come out of nowhere and be able to make the race, things like that do not happen today. And that's part of the problem with the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and the IZOD series. I don't really care what the owners say. It's a proven fact that if they're coming close to selling out the race this year, the hubbub about the new Dallara chassis has really been a reason for that. And, you know, I you know, you saw the new chassis sitting there in the pit the other day, as did I and every other fan, and they're just really cool. And just imagine different side pods for each team. You know, they can have the choice of three or four, if I'm not mistaken. We've got turbocharged motors again, three different motor programs between Lotus and Chevrolet and Honda. You know, the differences are astronomical this coming year. And even though some of the teams are worried about the financial aspects of things, that in itself is going to create and generate more interest for all the racers in general. And I, you know, I'm a firm believer that I have come very, very close to raising funds for some racers in that caliber before. And with the new chassis, if they do it the right way, it could be astronomical for the series. So.
Well, and I agree. I mean, it is still just yet to be determined. But here's the thing. I mean, I think that it was something that, like you said, that needs to be done. And so we'll certainly be talking a lot about this as the IndyCar season comes closer to the parition of these cars, the new cars coming. Now, we've seen some great speeds out there today, RJ, and I know you've been hanging out there in the different turns and hanging out with the fans. Are the fans happy when the cars go 227 miles an hour?
Oh, of course. I think they'd be happier if they were going 238 and came close to, you know, total absolute danger zones. But after the wreck with Simona today, you can see why they've slowed the cars down. It'll be very interesting next year to see whether the turbocharged package brings more speed to the facility. You know, it's gonna, you know, it can do nothing but increase the fan expectations next year. And what everybody must realize is that everybody comes with a clean slate. For at least a year, all the stats and everything that they've saved with the old chassis, in a certain sense, are out the window. Now with Brian Herta and Dan Weldon, you know, being the test monkeys, you might say, that, you know, they could have a head start on everybody else. But, you know, it remains to be seen. This is going to be a fantastic race this year. We don't have to wait for next year to see a great race. The 100th running of the race is just awesome. Now, what I would like to see is rumors flying around about a big, you know, General Motors coming back in. You have the potential for some of the NASCAR guys that are General Motors jockeys to be able to come back into the series on a part-time basis. So that will be very interesting as well. You could see more money come across just because of the GM brand.
Right. Well, one of the things also I want to make sure that we point out again, www.tracksidereview.com. Guys, go there and check it out. We've got a new look, a new feel. We've hired a new executive assistant, which when we wrap up this show, we got to run to a meeting on that. So, RJ, you and I, you know, I could tell that that things are getting better because we're getting busier.
Yeah, no kidding. It seems like ain't to faint. Although I got up at 5:30 this morning to start my deal, and I seem to think I recall getting a text from you about 8 o'clock. I think you need to get up about 2.5 hours earlier to catch up with the old RJ here. Now, in my defense, I went home to eat my lunch, and that's where I did see the wreck. I wasn't out to the racetrack yet. But I took a little 25-minute cat nap while I was going through the lunch. You know, I've also learned in my elder years that to keep up with the young cats, I've got to get a little bit of a siesta. That 45-minute cat nap, I read some book somewhere years ago where the 45-minute nap makes the evenings progress. And I'm not saying that all the racers are partiers, but I do know that we've had a lot of deals with the racers at the old watering hole, if you catch my drift.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, it's been a great, exciting time. I tell you what, we've had some rainy days here in the last few days, and you can only tell the same story so many times, but it has been exciting to be out here because it's given me the opportunity to be down in the pits, in the garage area, talking to these team owners. And I tell you what, I've had a real good opportunity to get to know the guys from Jensen Motorsports and with Indy Lights, and then over here. So more than welcome to do that. RJ, I'm going to – that's that man Steve on the other line. You go ahead and take it from here for a moment.
Okay. Hello?
Okay. Are you there, RJ?
Yes, sir.
That's something we're going to discuss in our meeting today, but that's neither here nor there. But, yeah. We do want to welcome our new executive assistant, Michelle New. Our assistants don't always get the credit that they deserve, and she keeps an oil to the wheel.
Yeah, no kidding. It's funny. I'm not saying we're disorganized, but we're disorganized, you know. And it's always nice, you know, when you got guys that are on the road all the time. And we're going helter-skelter with, you know, three different computer systems and trying to basically do how many projects? I mean, you know, there's countless things we're trying to do, and we're trying to get them all molded together as one, and it's very tough without an assistant. So Michelle's going to really help us.
I think she's going to do a great job. And I tell you what, she is on it. Now, Statman Steve was going to be calling in, and that's one of the things I wanted to point out to you about the new look on the website. I mean, just go on there and check it out. I mean, we've got Statman Steve's page, who is, let's face it, he is a good old boy covering good old boy racing, and there's nothing wrong with that. We know we got a lot of good old boy fans out there. And so, RJ, I know that that's kind of the background with you and Trackside Review, but just... kind of bring us rookie listeners, if you will, what we mean by good old boy racing.
Well, good old boy racing means that down and dirty. You know, they go to the dirt track in the Midwest. They go to the short tracks in the Midwest. They start out racing cars or quarter midgets, and they work their way up the ladder slowly but surely, or very quickly in some cases. And, you know, these kids will start at 5 years old and go up the ladder, and Steve's been following racing for many, many, many years, shooting and just like me, basically being just a fan. Now, Steve is a little bit larger than me, so he doesn't get a chance to get in a race car, nor do you for that matter. Although I must admit,
I have a face for radio.
Both of you guys that I am going to put both of you guys on a severe exercise program. And because you still haven't realized the adrenaline rush when you get in a race, and you don't realize also, remember when we were talking to Jensen Motorsports, how the guy, Mike Legale, was so upset that his car was 2 pounds, get this, 2 pounds heavier than the car right in front of him. I thought that was fascinating. You realize how much 2 pounds means in an Indy Lights program or a iZod IndyCar program. So basically, let's do a comparative study between you and Fatman Steve and myself. If it was 2 pounds for me, that means it's 100 pounds for me.
Hey, RJ.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I'm going to interrupt you for just a quick second. I've got a Cliff Brown here with me. Let's say your name. Cliff Brunt, I'm sorry, with the Associated Press. I'm going to have to take the ears off for a minute, but I do want to talk to him a little bit about the crash today and about what's been going on. So, RJ, if you want to take a break for a few minutes and go get juiced up or whatever,
sure.
I'm going to sit and talk with Cliff.
All right. Sorry,
we're going to get one set of ears up here. Welcome to the Balance WXRB. So glad that you could join us. You're with the Associated Press. Now, tell us a little bit about, and I'm just going to let you put these ears on and just kind of tell us a little bit about the crash today. Does Keith Wiggins have another backup car? I hear that he might bring in another driver. Just kind of bring us up to speed on what happened today and what's been happening at the track today.
It was one of the more spectacular crashes in recent years in terms of how it looked. Just lost control, hit the wall, flipped several times, went airborne, and landed upside down in flames. Several folks came over to try to, you know, help her get out. She got out and walked away and was able to go to the medical facility, burned both of her hands, and her status is questionable for Saturday for qualifying.
Okay, now it's been a long 48 hours here, and like we've talked about, it's kind of hard to tell the same story over and over again, but it's the 100th running of the Indianapolis 500. It doesn't get any more special than that. Do you have any special memories here at the track or anything that would be your favorite race in as far as the Indianapolis 500 goes?
I would say 2005, simply because it was my first time, and that was right after I got hired here. The very first assignment I had was the Indianapolis 500, and of course that was the year that Danica came onto the scene, and so there was so much hype around that particular day. And obviously the first time you see this speedway, it just blows you away, just the sheer size of it and just the experience. So that would be the one that stands out to me.
Yeah, we were talking about the crash a little bit earlier. I'm seeing some information here that Keith Wiggins says that there's an outside chance that the team could bring in another driver to back that up and then put her back in the car. What have you heard on that?
Well, his hope is that she's going to be okay, but he's uncertain about that. He said that, you know, she's just a little shaken up right now from a mental standpoint. He's worried about her confidence level. But in terms of getting her back in the car, his hope is that she is going to be available this weekend to drive that car and hopefully get herself into the Indy 500.
Talking with Cliff Brunt with the Associated Press. Now, Cliff, one of the buzzwords that's going on right now is the new 2000. We were just talking about this just a few minutes ago, the new 2011 DeLorean chassis. What's your thoughts on that? And you know, I was talking with Lindsay Thacker with the Versus Network about it pushing out the little guy, and she says, like, she hopes that doesn't happen. And you know, we were just talking about Keith Wiggins, ironically, as well, you know, to get the insight of a little team's perspective. They think that it's something that needs to be done, but what are your thoughts on how this is going to affect racing come next year?
Well, yeah, it's hard to say. You know, I think the one thing that's an advantage is that teams do have some time to prepare for it. So they know what's coming, and it's just a matter of time of what they're going to do to get their ducks in a row to be able to become competitive in this way. Obviously, as racing's always been, the teams with the big money have the advantage. But what it does, if you're able to come up with some money, is it does even things out. So it's really just a matter of what can you do between now and then to get your money right, to give yourself a chance.
Now, you've been up here all week with me here in the media center. Just kind of summarize to us on and how can they find your stories and where can they can find your writing. Just kind of give us a summary of the last 48 hours.
Well, you can find my stories anywhere. I guess the best way to find my work is if you go to Twitter. You can go to Cliff Brunt AP. That's Cliff, like jumping off a cliff. C-L-I-F-F, Brunt, B-R-U-N-T, A-P. That's all one handle. And you'll find a lot of my stories there. But you'll find them all over the place, whether it be Yahoo or USA Today, a website, or Sports Illustrated. You can find them anywhere. As far as the last 48 hours, you know, there's been a lot. It's really been a lot of rain over the course of the last week. That's really been the story up until today. And obviously with Simona's crash, that took over the headlines today. But there's really been a lot of fast driving out here today. The conditions have been pretty good for it, and I see Tagliani's got the fastest lap today. But all in all, it's just been good to see cars out on the track, and I think that's something that folks have been looking forward to for a long time here.
All right, we've been talking to Cliff Blunt with the Brunt. I keep saying that wrong. I appreciate you joining us today, and look forward to reading your work here. All right, that was Cliff with the Associated Press. Cliff, like jumping off a cliff. So glad that you could join us again, talking about the 2011 Dodge chassis as well, and RJ Cunningham. We were just talking to Cliff with the Associated Press about, you know, the crash and some of the things that have been going on. So we've got 21 minutes left. Again, for those of you who normally tune in here and are listening to us live, we aren't live because so. You'll be able to hear the archives and so forth. So, OJ, kind of sum up what's happened today.
Well, what's happened today is RJ got his four laps around the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, walking all the humps and the hills. RJ met more of the fans. You know, there's been a lot of activity on the track. There's been 39 cars on the track at last count. There's been one disastrous wreck. There's a team that's got to scramble for Saturday. There's always going to be something in the back that we're not aware of, even in the media, until, you know, 10 minutes before it happens. But there's things going on behind the scenes that we as fans are not privy to. Will learn very quickly that you got to stay on top of things when qualification starts tomorrow. And even more so on Sunday, because if a car is not up to speed, you'll need to stay abreast of who's gone through their where they go through and get their okay to race, where they do a physical. Driver will
the check line.
Say what?
Are you talking about the driver physical, or are you talking about the car physical?
Well, the driver physical. The cars are already going through tech.
Oh,
they're already there.
I'm sorry.
They, you know, they can't. You know, let's say a driver's not getting the car up to speed, but they, you know, for $700,000, they're going to find a driver that's got some more experience in the car. So they're going to find a driver that's not racing, you know, or doesn't have a ride, or maybe their ride's not up to speed. They'll see you'll see some car hopping on Sunday. This is going to be one of the most awesome bump days in Indianapolis 500 history. Hey. I just want to tell you that I'm in the meeting with Michelle or Shell, and she's here. If you want to talk to her, she's available. If you have any instructions for our new assistant, she's available.
Or is she there with you?
Yes, sir. If you'd like to talk to Shell, she's in the midst of walking.
So you're not in the pits anymore?
No. I'm not in the pits now. I'm out and about. I'm at the local watering hole like we had planned to meet our meeting. So, here's Shell.
Hey, sweetie.
Is this Devereaux?
This is Monique Devereaux.
Monique Devereaux. How are you doing?
Oh, the boys. I came from the Attitude Adjustment, and the boys outside just would not let me alone. They just said, "Why are you leaving?" I said, "I got business to do. Well, you guys come out here and entertain us." And you know what?
RJ snuck one in on me, and when we get off the air here, we'll figure out how that happened.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, I got a lot of creative stuff I want to go by you guys.
He told me he was down there in the pit area. So, you know, he's pulling an Arnold Schwarzenegger on us right now.
I know, but this will work. This will work with me.
We wanted to officially introduce you to the team and to our listeners, although they don't get to talk to you every week. You are the gypsy that takes care of the vagabond?
Yes. Absolutely.
I want to tell you what, you are doing a fantastic job in a position that RJ will tell you and anybody that's been around us that we really needed an executive assistant. And we are so glad that you are on board and a part of the team. I'm up here at the Media Center. We're doing the balance. 16 minutes left in the show. Tell us just a little bit about your background and where you come from and so forth.
All right.
Are you there?
Yeah, let me know what I'm supposed to say. All right, let me know.
You can say whatever you want to say. We just want to know your background.
Hi, I am a Shell Ritter. I've been around human resources since 1977. I'm a 59-year-old chick, and I love racing. I love anywhere from the top fuel racing boys, Cut Bunny Car, right down to the local boys. I love Demolition Derby. I've been the 500, I can't tell you how many times. One of the things that really upset me the most about the 500, I was not allowed. Not allowed from my doctor. He said, absolutely not, Shelley. You are not allowed to go to the 500 when you're going to deliver your son 1 week later. And I certainly did. But anyway, racing is in my blood. My role here is to keep these vagabond boys in tow and to grow our wonderful organization. And I am the gypsy bohemian girl that's going to do this. So I sign off to you, Tom.
All right. I appreciate it.
Thank you, dear.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. That's our new executive assistant here at the Balance and Trackside Review. Oh, boy. She does not know what she's caught, what she has signed up for. RJ, are you back with me?
Yeah, I'm back.
Hey, RJ, I want to know how you snuck out without me knowing it.
easy. That's why I said you can have this here badge. You know, I'm just kidding. I'm my own guy. You know, I want to do what I want to do. Now tomorrow evening, you won't see me leave the racetrack early. You'll see me there until 6 o'clock or maybe even hours after, according to what kind of action is going on.
Right.
But you know, the month of May, I consider my vacation. Even though I'm working, and even though at 5:30 in the morning, and even yet tonight, I'll get on the web and I'll put some things on the website. I consider the month of May my vacation. I always have since I was 9 years old. You know, to me, it's so relaxing. You know, I've got more than one business. You'll notice the other business in the month of June, the business will increase. Not because the money's there, the companies are there, they want my services. They'll be there because I'm more relaxed. To come out to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway relaxes me.
Right.
I don't know, you know.
Absolutely. And I tell you what, I'm looking forward to coming down there. And we do have a lot of real business work to do, everybody. We have some real work to do. But just have it.
My phone's dead.
Your phone.
Hey, Tom, you're going to have to finish out the show. My phone is dead.
Is that because you're drinking water down there?
No. Although you might tell Tom Bigelow I'm trying to catch up with him. No, I'm getting ready to eat. I am starving to death. That's another thing. I must admit, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway does have pretty good food out there now, too. So if you come out to the Speedway in years past, you could get a hot dog for a buck or two or whatever. Now they've got some legitimate, good, quality food. And the Wilson boys even had me try one of the Bloody Marys there at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway on Sunday. Or was it Saturday? No, I can't remember. Anyway, I've had too much water. My phone's going dead. So you have a good time, and I will talk to you at the local watering hole later on. And I'm sure you've got plenty to talk about.
Yes, we got plenty to talk about, and save me some water. All right. All right,
all right,
buddy. We'll talk to you later. RJ Cunningham with Trackside Review, finishing up the show here. We got about 12 minutes left out here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So glad that you guys are a part of history. It is a great time to be out here again. This is the balance. Typically, we run this live, but you're going to be hearing the rebroadcast on Blog Talk Radio. You can also download all of the archives on iTunes and so forth. It's the 100th anniversary of the Indianapolis 500. We've had some action today and been a lot of fast speeds. I mean, Ryan Briscoe right now is just really pushing things to the metal. The number he's right behind Alex Talagani. I said it again. I got a problem with that. But anyway, 226.841. And then right down there in number 7 spot, 226.376, Ed Carpenter in the number 67 car. So as you can see, there's a lot of excitement going on right down here at the Indianapolis 500. We are right around the corner of pole day, and it is an exciting time to be down here for the 100th anniversary of the Indianapolis 500. We were able to... flock have a tendency to do. We have a tendency to flock around different drivers and see what kind of answers that we can get. And one of the questions that was asked to Danica Patrick today, I said, Danica, this is your 7th Indianapolis 500. It seems like yesterday was your first day here. And her response was, yeah, just a wee girl racing here in Indy. Now she's old. but this is her 7th Indianapolis 500. She's turning 29. Those are the kind of things it seems like that it was not that long ago, she said. And I feel like I've always been some kind of inexperienced driver at some level here at the Indianapolis 500. Now, how Danica Patrick could ever say that she's an inexperienced driver is beyond me. But that's what she said, and she said she went on to say that that's a good thing. Well, back in time with the experience I have now, I would. So having the experience is a good thing, so hopefully it pays off on race day. So really, that kind of sums up what happens here on practice laps. They give these rookies a chance to get out there and really get a good feel of this track. Now, this is a track that you absolutely have to respect. It shows no favoritism to any driver, and at any time, if lose focus at any time, you can certainly end up in the wall, and the wall's only soft until you hit it, that's for sure. So it's been a great time. Again, the last 48 hours have been kind of a slow news day, if you will. We're out here, and we're having a great time. Again, www.tracksidereview.com, thebalanceonline.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Just search Facebook, The Balance, become our friends. We'd love to have you. Follow us on Twitter under T Balance. We'd love to have you. And of course, Trackside Review, you can find them on Twitter and Facebook as well. So we would love for you guys to email us your favorite story. Here at just send us an email at tbalance at ymail.com, or you can send us an email. You can send me an email at tom@tracksidereview.com, and just give me your stories. We'd like to talk with you about your history and about what the Indianapolis 500 means to you, and as you heard Lindsay say earlier, that she's been coming here since she's been a little kid, and this has a lot of family memories, and I'm sure there's a lot of families out there. And I was just speaking to someone this afternoon that I think that everybody that lives within driving distance should come to the Indianapolis 500 one time in their life. And what a better year to do it than the 100th anniversary of the Indianapolis 500-mile race. Now, also, you can catch all of my Trackside reports on www.xrbradio.com at 12:15 and 4:15 every single day. Myself and Brian Scott, we break down all the action that's been happening here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Of course, there's been a lot that's been going on here in the very past few minutes. Will Power right now is on the top slot, then Ryan Briscoe, and then number three, Julio, is in number four, and J.R. Hillebrand in there to number six. And Will Power, 227.778. Again, these drivers are out there. They're out there to get these top speeds so that they can get to a position that they need to be at for qualification day, which is just right around the corner. And a lot of stuff that's going on this week. ESPN Classic will put in a week-long tribute in honor of the 1th anniversary of the Indianapolis 500. The 2011 edition of the greatest spectacle in racing airs Sunday, May 29th on ABC with a pre-race at 11 a.m. All week long, beginning Monday, May 23rd, the ESPN Classic also will air some of the classic Indy 500 races. So I want to make sure that you check that out. And also Jenna Wolf, the Sunday co-anchor of the Weekend Day Show and correspondent for Today on NBC, was here at the track and was seen around the track to film an upcoming segment of the 100th anniversary of the Indianapolis 500. Wolf rode in the Indy Racing Experience two-seat car, which we were talking about today, earlier this morning, in the reports with Mario Andretti driving, and interviewed 2010 Indianapolis 500 Chase Rookie of the Year, Simona Delasarto, which we know very well what happened with her later on, just 25 minutes in. And those of you that may have not have heard, we had our very first crash out here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway today. And it was a very scary moment there for at a very brief time. And she has been released from the Methodist Hospital and is in care of the infield medical staff and the IndyCar medics, and she will be available for interviews tomorrow. And so we certainly at the Balance here in WXRB and TrackSideReview.com certainly plan on being there and bringing that information to you. Talking with you, I'm up here in the air conditioning of the media suite of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It's a fantastic time to be here, and I'm so glad that you guys could join us. If my voice will hold out another 5 minutes, that is. It's been one of those weeks, that's for sure. But I tell you what, come on down. Practice again resumes tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to be a fantastic day to be down here. And if you can at all, skip the afternoon and come down here on Friday. I don't know, tell the boss you've got a meeting or something. Just come on down here to the track. Trust me, you will not be disappointed. Again, you can find us on www.thebalanceonline.com and www.tracksidereview.com. Go there right now. Check out the magazine. Check out the new look. Check out the new feel. Click Meet the Team. Meet me and RJ. And you met Michelle earlier and Statman Steve. And, Statman Steve comes on the show every now and then. Like we said, he covers Good Boy Racing. And as you heard RJ talk about that, that is just a division of what we do. Of course, here at The Balance, and those of you that are our great Balance fans that have been here with us for a long time, know that we do a coverage of everything from all different types of sports. So don't worry. We understand that there is more than racing going on right now, and maybe you're a stick and ball kind of guy. Like I said, don't worry about it. We got your balls covered. That's for sure. We still, all of our information is on the website, www.thebalanceonline.com. We got 3 minutes left in the show. I want to tell you guys to make sure you take time to just send me an email, tom@tracksidereview.com, and send me your stories, send me your memories of the Indianapolis 500. And we're going to try to run a segment there of everybody's memories, and hopefully that we can get a lot of memories. Just send us an email, and we'll get you on there as well on our page that we'll set up for memories of the Indianapolis 500. Also, we've extended coverage to drag racing in the NHRA drag racing. I tell you what, May is packed with all kinds of family events, all kinds of on down here at the track. So you want to make sure that you just, you know, pack up the family and come on down here to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So we got a lot of fast times on the track today, and so it's been great to be a part of it. Like I said, Willpower right now is hit 227.778. Number 77, Alex Tagliani, has made his way back up to 227.652. Number 3, Ryan Briscoe, 227.217. So those are your top three. Again, Ed Carpenter, 226.376. We have a very tight bunch in your top 10, all in the 226 mark. So it's an exciting time out here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It's everything that it was built to be. I tell you what, it was like letting a dog off the chain who's been chained up and letting him loose. I tell you, they have went out there and have been able to get a full day of practice, and it's been an exciting time to watch. And we certainly wish our best and prayers to Simona, and hopefully that all turns out well with her. Now, there is an outside chance that they're going to bring in another driver to qualify in her car and put her back in the car. So we certainly hope that is exactly what happens. Well, guys, my name's Tom Marquis here with The Balance. It's been so good to be with you. Unfortunately, our time has come to an end. So for Thursday, May the 20th, this has been The Balance, and we've been out here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Well, when I say when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a bleep, son of a bleep, gun. You thought I was gonna say son of a, didn't you?